This is an All Ears English Podcast, episode 1662, 5 Steps to Overcome Your Inner Resistance with Wally Bressler. Welcome to the All Ears English Podcast, downloaded more than 200 million times. We believe in connection, not perfection, with your American host, Lindsay McMahon, and today's featured guest coming to you from Denver, Colorado, USA. And to get your transcripts delivered by email every week, go to allearsenglish.com/subscribe. How can you get on the right track to living your dream life and having the career you want? You must first work through what's holding you back. In today's episode, I interview Wally Bressler, who will show us how to work through our hidden identities for more success in business and life.
To get fluent and connect in English, you need a way to practice without being judged by others and to feel free to make mistakes. That's why Monica, an English teacher from Poland, joined our fluency course.
I didn't know what to expect, but when I finally opened the course and I joined the community, I realized that this is what I've been looking for.
You can join this same community that Monica joined and achieve exciting results at allearsenglish.com/plan. Save up to 20% if you join before midnight on May 5th. Offer expires at midnight on May 5th.
Welcome, Wally, to the show. How are you today?
Hey, Lindsay. Thanks for having me. I'm doing great. Thank you.
I'm excited to have you here. Guys, today we have a guest on the show. We have Wally Bressler from Phone Sales Secrets. And what Wally does is that he helps people overcome reluctance, self-sabotage, and procrastination to become unstoppable. And I know, Wally, you work with people a lot in the business world, the entrepreneurial world. And I think this really applies to our listeners today, learning another language and doing business on the phone in English. Welcome.
Thank you so much. I really, really appreciate the opportunity to be here today. And I'm excited to share some of the things I've learned and be able to give your folks some tools to be able to, you know, move themselves closer to their goals or what they want to accomplish.
Yeah, this is going to be great. And by the way, guys, we just found out that Wally and I grew up in the same state, a couple hours away from each other. We played at each other's high schools, high school sports, the football field, the tennis courts. So we are hometown buddies here. So that's kind of fun. That's fun. All right, Wally, let's get into this today. Let's go straight to it. So our listeners, they do often do business on the phone in English, and they come up against resistance, right? This sense of resistance. Mm-hmm. Now, what are some things we need to know when we feel this nervousness or this resistance when we're about to get on the phone, whether we're trying to actually sell a product or just sell an idea or convince someone or build a relationship?
Okay, great question. So, you know, what I've learned is that there are two types of resistance. One of them is more a resistance as a result of not being comfortable with what to say, how to say it, when to say it. Meaning we're comfortable. I mean, it's got to be tough in a second language, how to articulate whatever we're going to articulate, whether we're doing it in our native language or otherwise. But that type of resistance historically can be overcome with some practice and some support and some training, if that makes any sense.
Okay. Okay.
But a large part of the resistance is due to what I call hidden identities that we've created from some sort of experience we had as a child. And, you know, I took kind of from my own experience, I had kind of a rough childhood, and, you know, there were a lot of things that were traumatic that happened to me that I didn't realize literally until I was in my late 40s impacted a lot of the decisions I make, including, you know, things that were, you know, self-sabotage related, procrastination, reluctance of all kinds, sales and otherwise. And so, you know, what I realized is that it could be one of a number of things. Either you were physically abused, sexually abused, emotionally abused by somebody, or you were bullied mercilessly by kids in school, or you had a parent that, you know, basically told you, like, let's just say your dad say, you know, Lindsay, you know, nothing good happens to the McMahon family. So, you know, don't set your sights too high because you're just going to get disappointed, you know, or they programmed you and said, you're dumb, you're stupid, you're never going to amount to anything. Mm. Or could be just that we made an observation of something. You know, I convinced myself for the longest time that I was poor. I mean, we had a house, we had cars, we had, you know, air conditioning, food. But, you know, all the other, a lot of the other kids, not all, but a lot of the kids at school had Levi's, Timberland boots, nice ski jackets. And yeah. I was wearing, you know, Sears Roebuck clothes. And so I convinced myself that I was poor. And so what happens is we plant these seeds at a young age based upon input we've been given by something. And then we end up watering them over time. And then we grow these belief systems, but, you know, they're hidden identities. So most people wouldn't look at us and realize that we have this identity of somebody who doesn't want their feelings hurt, who doesn't want to get embarrassed, who doesn't want to be judged, who, you know, doesn't want to hurt other people's feelings, but they really drive us. And that's really what creates a lot of that reluctance, is the lack of willingness or the desire to not experience any pain as a result of where we don't feel good about ourselves.
Okay. Okay. Excellent. So that's a really good explanation. So I just want to stop for a second for our listeners, guys. Think about in your life, especially as a child, because most of these ideas get formed when we're kids, right? Because we have a very skewed version of the world when we're kids. Was there something that happened to you, even just a simple comment or a message that your parents were giving you, where you have brought that into adulthood? And I know this is true for all of us. I know it's true for me, right? I mean, certain interactions with my peers on the playground in school, for some reason, at times I started to think they were better than me. Why? I don't know. It was just my idea. And we can bring these things into adulthood. So guys, take a minute to think, what were those messages that you received and kind of interpreted in your own way and brought into adulthood? So this is where we're at, Wally. We've got these messages, these hidden identities. What do we have to know about them?
May I offer a strategy to help them maybe identify?
Yeah, that would be great. Sure.
So as I was creating, you know, one of the programs that I use to help people overcome reluctances of all kinds, I did some research and I just Googled, hey, can you talk to your subconscious, and some sort of like 2.5 million results came up. So I learned that, you know, our subconscious remembers everything that we've seen, tasted, smelled, heard, or felt. And so if you just go ahead and grab, you can grab a 5x7 note card and just ask yourself a very simple question. You know, what is the source of my reluctance? What is the source of my self-sabotage? What is the source of my procrastination? Okay. And I suggest you take two of them. You leave one with you all the time and you put one next to your bed. Okay. And you will probably find out within less than 24 hours. You'll probably some people find out in like an hour or two. So, and that helps you put your finger on what you need to attack too. So that's a good strategy.
All right. So for our listeners, guys, I mean, Wally, do you think that we should do this right in the moment? Let's imagine our listener in an office getting ready to pick up the phone, have that phone call with the New York office in English. Should they do it kind of in that moment because it's the most salient? Should this be on the side at some time when we have the time to reflect?
This should be at a time when you don't need to be focusing on a whole lot of anything, because some of it might not be so fun, you know, but you know, you can't overcome an enemy or fight a battle against something that you don't know exists.
Okay.
Right. So my recommendation would be that, you know, they do this, and I'll include the 5 steps they can use, but this is something that you should do of your own accord. I do really recommend doing it before bed, because, you know, at night is when our subconscious goes to work to make sense of everything that happened that day. And if you ask it, it'll find it for you.
I love it. So guys, do that work. Find the source of that resistance. So then what else can we help our listeners with, Wally? How do we work through it once we've found it?
Well, there's a 5-step process, but let me just want to say one thing. And if everybody gets a chance, they need to go to YouTube and go to YouTube and just, you know, search for Will Smith, Fault Versus Responsibility. It's only about a 3.5-minute video, but it really just speaks to you know, the focal point of what I do. And that's, listen, you know, however you got to where you are is likely not your fault. Okay. It's impossible for us in most cases to solve our own problems, especially if they're emotional, psychological, or anything like that. But it is our responsibility to solve the problem once we know that it can be solved. Does that make sense?
Yeah. So I like that.
Mm-hmm. You know, I grew up in an Italian family and everything happened around food, you know, and, you know, I was a big guy, played college football, but you know, I've dealt with an eating disorder since I was 6.
Oh, wow.
But you know, I mean, I'm 18 years old now, 19, 20, whatever. I mean, I know that overeating is not good for me and that I have a problem. So now it's my responsibility to fix it. So all I'm saying is that if you want to get to the point where there's no trepidation in calling somebody for any reason, a sales call, a relationship building call, a first contact to, you know, move the conversation along towards something, anything, you know, you need to know where the resistance exists so you can put it to bed. So that kind of leads me to my third point, which is, I think the true answer to your question is that, you know, it's kind of a 5-step process we go through.
Okay. All right. Yeah. And so before we go into that, I just want to say, yeah, this really is part of becoming, well, having the dream career you want. You use the term becoming unstoppable. And I would just say in our careers and in our lives, speaking any language, speaking English, speaking our first language, whatever language it is, it's part of becoming an adult and a successful person in the world is you recognize where that resistance comes from. Maybe it came from some event or multiple events as a kid. And then you take responsibility. You tell yourself you can move past this. You can solve this. Yes, I love it. Okay. So Wally, now what are the five steps to solve it? What can we do?
So the first one is awareness, and that's becoming aware of what it is. And, you know, if you've not checked in as to why you have this resistance or this, this need to, you know, sabotage good things or to procrastinate or anything else related to keep whatever's keeping you from moving forward, you know, this little note card activity is really going to help you become aware of not just what it is, but what emotions it brings up within you.
Yeah.
And, but you need that because, you know, you need to learn how to tangle these emotions and not let them take root, because it's not the emotions themselves that cause the problem. It's letting the emotions really take root and wreak havoc with, you know, anxiety and depression and panic and all the other things. So
okay,
got to become aware, and that note card activity is the best for it. Then the second part of the process is, okay, now that I'm aware of what's happening, I've got to go ahead and I've got to define and identify exactly what it is. So, you know, what feeling is this? I'm going to identify it. What feeling is this? And then I'm going to define where it comes from. So this is anxiety, and where is it coming from? And so you can your brain will start to connect the dots, you know, and, you know, like, for instance, I was sexually abused when I was 10. So, you know, for the longest time, I had trouble, you know, being around, you know, people of the opposite sex, and, you know, I would get anxious and stuff like that. And so, you know, you finally learn, okay, this anxiety is coming from feeling uncomfortable in a relationship with a woman or something like that, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. And so the third part of that second step is basically becoming mindful or present.
Okay.
You know, we experience anxiety when we look towards the future and realize we have no control over it. And we experience depression when we look to the past and feel like we have no hope now. But if we're present, meaning if we just focus on what's going on right now, you really can just let it eventually, even after 5 minutes of doing it, that feeling will pass, but it takes practice.
Yeah. It's interesting how, just to jump in here, it's interesting how we have to become aware in order to become present. Yep, if we haven't taken that time, that first step to become aware, we're always going to be nagged by this feeling, right? This resistance, whatever it is coming up in us, then we don't have the space. And now all of a sudden we do have the space to be present. I love that.
Yep. And it's never, and I promise you, because I've dealt with a lot of other demons in my life, which I'm, you know, we don't have time to cover right now, but I promise you, if you do not work through this, it is not going away.
Okay. Okay.
And it'll just get worse over time, which is the sad thing.
Right. Right. It makes me think of that quote. It's kind of a cliche. It's what you resist persists, right? I'm not sure who said it, but it's so true, isn't it, Wally?
Yeah, I think it's Jim Rohn, but I could be wrong.
Yeah. So, okay.
But
good.
Anyway, so good, very good point though. So that's step two. And then, you know, if I may, I'm just going to plug a couple of resources.
Yeah, sure.
Go to the Mindful Movement on YouTube and subscribe. Start off with a 5-minute mindful meditation. Listen to the mindful meditation. They'll guide you through it. It's really just sitting down and focusing on your breathing and teaching your brain how to not let, you know, disempowering, negative, hurtful thoughts and then emotions enter your mind and take root. And it literally, after doing it for a week, you'll realize how much more power you have over what happens. So
yes, love it.
Once we get to that, step three is starting to reprogram your brain.
Okay.
And so with affirmations, instead of telling yourself the negative things you've been telling yourself, you tell yourself the positive things. You know, I mean, if you're somebody who is a pleaser and needs affirmation and acceptance from other people, then your affirmation may be, listen, I accept myself for who I am.
Mm-hmm.
And I need nobody's approval or something like that. Right. So we're telling, did you have something you wanted to add?
No, I just wanted to ask you, with affirmations, do you think the power comes in speaking them? Is that what's changing the way you think, or is it just thinking them, or what is it in affirmations that actually makes that change in your mind? If you love hearing new voices of interesting guests, and you also love hanging out with Lindsay and Michelle on this podcast 4 days a week, then hit follow now, because you don't want to miss a single episode of All Ears English. And thanks for listening to the show.
This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So, You want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
No, it's funny. It's funny because how we're using the same strategies that got us where we are today to get us out of where we are now.
Yeah.
So for our entire life, we may not have been saying it overtly, but every time we say, oh, that was dumb, or I'm stupid, or I'm an idiot, or, you know, I'm afraid of this, I'm afraid of that. We're just reinforcing whatever that bad stuff is.
Yes.
You either need to say them or you need to record them and listen to them.
Okay. Yeah. You know,
at least 10 minutes a day. Because what we're doing is we're, you know, we're reprogramming our brains. So we've got to put lots of positive inputs in there. And so, yes. One or two, maybe three affirmations a day. Then the mindfulness, a good 10 minutes of mindfulness every day. Go find a book that, let's just say you were sexually abused. Go find a book on how to overcome sexual abuse as an adult when you were a child. Let's just say that, you have a perfection issue. Go find a book on how to overcome perfectionism, and spend some time, 10 minutes or so a day reading the book. Make sure you exercise. Journaling is important, Just engaging in those activities on a day-over-day basis,
And it's self-work, right? Well, I mean, this gives us confidence because we value ourselves enough to spend this time. And that's already giving us a leg up in terms of turning things around.
Yeah, the Miracle Morning by Hal Elrod would probably be the best thing for people to do. You know, the book is about $19. He's got a great website a great Facebook group on Facebook called The Miracle Morning, and you can Google Miracle Morning, and you've got lots of assets there. But it's basically a program that guides you through this morning activity. But it's an hour a day of taking charge of what's going into your head and putting positive things in there, so you can start reprogramming things. Okay,
so good, so good. Is there a fifth step, or did we get all five of them?
Those are three. That's okay. First three.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah. So awareness, and then the second step is three parts, which is. It's kind of the second step is, defining and identifying and then getting mindful, right?
Mm-hmm.
Step three is really reprogramming our brain. Step four is finding out what drives us. So we talked a little bit about Daniel Pink.
Yeah, of course. So
his book Drive, he talks about, what really drives us. And, he basically says there's three things that will continue our motivation. Carrot and a stick doesn't work so well because both of those are not lasting motivators. So he says, you got to seek autonomy, basically being able to do what you need to do. Not that you don't need anybody else's help, but you can accomplish what you want to accomplish of your own accord. Mm-hmm. Number two, mastering something so that you can scale it as big, wide, and deep as you want. Or in this case, just mastering your mindset or mastering the English language or whatever that allows you to really do what you do at a high level. And lastly, is creating your purpose. And so that's step five is really finding out what your true why is.
Oh, I love it.
A lot of people think, hey, listen, my kids are my why, or, this new car is a why, a house, $1 million. It's like, those aren't whys, those are whats,
Right.
And, right. And so, your kids are a what, but what's the why? Well, for me, not having good relationships with women for most of my life, one of my whys is to be able to teach my children not only just to love themselves and accept themselves for who they are, but that they don't need anybody else to make them feel whole, loved, or worth anything.
Yes.
And that when they meet somebody, they're meeting that person to improve upon who they are, but not create a great relationship where you can help each other improve, but not to fill a hole or a void in your life. And so, Simon Sinek talks about it and Find Your Why. He's like, the formula for a good why is first and foremost something that is driven by a pain you experienced. Okay.
Yep.
And then, he basically says, you're going to contribute X so that you can impact Y.
I love it.
I'm contributing to my children with regular conversations and sometimes having the same conversation to the point where I get looked at by my kids like I'm, evil. And then so that I can make sure that, whether I'm here or not, when they make the choice of the person they're going to be with, that it's a good choice and they can have a good, fruitful relationship.
Yes.
So basically what he says is that, you have to be able to tap into some pain and then, use the contribute X so I can impact Y. And it has to be something that you can affect, A-F-F-E-C-T, you can affect the outcome over, right? It's not a thing. It's a, what can I do to make
a change in the world? So something you can change in the world, that's happening to other people or is happening. Yeah. In that way. I love that. This is so good. Thanks. I mean, it's so clear for our listeners, you guys, if you're facing any kind of resistance in your own English learning, just English learning itself, go back to what was that thing that gave you the wrong impression about yourself, right? That you're not good enough, that you can't do it, that people don't want to talk to you. We work through those pieces first, and then we get to the point of, okay, why are we learning English? There's got to be a bigger why. So good. Mm-hmm. Yes.
And, you know, there's discomfort with some of this process, but, you know, it's, you know, it's like, what do you, you know, Jim Rohn said, you suffer one of two pains, the pain of discipline or the pain of regret. You're going to suffer one of them. Right. So, you know, I would rather suffer the pain of discipline, even though it is painful.
Me too.
Yeah. And as much as we say we don't, we do. And I think it's one of these things where, you know, we have to realize that, you know, how we got here is not our fault, but that we absolutely 100% need to take responsibility for what's going to happen going forward. And, you know, I've gone through a truckload in my life, but you know, you can go to bed every night and say, I want to be thinner tomorrow, please help me. But if you don't eat right and exercise, you're not going to be any thinner. If you don't change your mindset around it, you're not going to be thinner. So,
exactly.
You know, you can say, I want to become fluent in the English language, but if you don't, you know, get through whatever the clutter is that's keeping you from studying and learning and practicing and, you know, whatever.
Yes.
It's never going to change.
I love that. And if you look, guys, at all the people who have really become successful in the world, whether they've become fluent in English, whether they've become, you know, well-written authors, whatever it is, they've worked through this stuff too, right? There's no way around it. We have to work through this resistance first, this sense of what's these hidden identities, as you call it, Wally, to get to that purpose. This is awesome. Any final message about working through this for our listeners today?
I think you really have to get to the point, and you know, Tony Robbins talks about needing leverage. You know, he talks about you're going to move something heavy and you need leverage. You get a fulcrum, you get a long board,
right.
And you put it under, and you put the weight at the total other opposite end so you can get the leverage to lift it.
Yeah.
Like you've got to get enough leverage. And I think that's where the pain comes in, you know, there's people like, trying to think here. You know, there's some six, like, you know, Ed Milet or Tony Robbins or Brian Tracy or Les Brown, anybody, you know, if you look at their lives, part of what's driven them is that they don't ever want to experience the pain they experience at some point in their life. And so they are never, ever, ever going to go back to that ever.
Okay.
And they let that be the fulcrum or the leverage they need to then get through the process and say, you know, the pain of discipline is much better than the pain of regret.
Yeah. So kind of they're not afraid of those emotions. They can relive those emotions, but in a way that it serves getting away from that hidden identity, right?
And you've got to attack it. You just have to go and get it. And that's why the awareness piece is so important, because it tells you where to focus your energy.
So good.
But here's the good news. I mean, I help people, and I'm not selling anything here, but my experience has been that, you know, if you do this and you do it right, 45 days, I've had people do it in less time.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not something, if you work at it hard enough, that's going to take a ridiculous amount of time. And really, you'll start feeling better within 2 weeks. It's amazing.
I love it. So guys, I want to encourage you to go back, listen to today's episode again. This is a lot of gold right here. I mean, this really is the truth. This is how we become successful in the world, is by working through these identities that our brains somehow landed us there. And we've carried this baggage along our whole lives. Mm-hmm. So work through it. And then you will be able to get to that point where you have that dream life, that successful life that you really want, being who you are. Wally, could you show us where we could find you online and what you're up to?
Sure. Can I give you two places? Is that okay?
Okay, go for it.
So, you know, the first place would be to go to, you know, https, you know, /:// whatever, phonesalessecrets.com.
Okay. And so what do you do over there? Do you work with executives, with professionals on improving their skills on the phone?
So basically, I have a free course that they can get when they go there, which kind of goes through the five steps that we just went through in a little bit more detail. And then it really helps them get a much deeper look at what they need to do. But then it also allows you to join my Facebook group.
Okay.
Which, is really, you know, one of those groups that, where I provide a lot of content. I have, you know, I have interviews with, you know, sales experts, with people who've overcome, you know, all kinds of problems themselves, with people who, you know, how can I explain this? Help other people overcome challenges and stuff like that.
Okay.
And, you know, if they go to that group, or that link, if you will, you know, they can go ahead and join my group. It's no cost. And I put out, you know, a ridiculous amount of content. I have, you know, you can see my life story there. And every week I put out a menu of what I'm going to cover, who my guests are, you know, testimonials and all kinds of other stuff that you can use to get some information on how to, you know, really work on this yourself, you know? So
I love it. I love it.
Yeah. So all free resources.
All right. I love it. Anything else you want to say to our listeners before we finish up today?
You know, there's a book called the Five Biggest Regrets of the Dying.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I don't know if anybody's ever read it before. It's by Bonnie Ware. She was a hospice nurse in England. Okay.
Yeah. And I've heard of this.
Yeah. She lists the five biggest regrets that people have. And the number one is I wish I had the courage to live a life true to myself and not the life others expected of
me. Ooh, boy, that is so poignant. Guys, check out that book. Who wrote it again?
Bonnie Ware.
Okay. Bonnie Ware.
The number one regret is I wish I'd had the courage to live a life true to myself and not the life others expected of me. And you know, and part of that expected of me is letting other people's opinions or their feelings about us or whatnot, you know, influence how we're going to go ahead and, run our lives. You know,
I love it. I love it.
Being a pleaser or whatever. So I think that's really important.
All right. Awesome. This has been so good, guys. I encourage you to go check out those resources. This is so, so important. I'm glad we were able to have you on the show today, Wally. Thank you for coming, sharing your experience and your expertise and your advice. And good luck with everything. This is fantastic. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. And good luck to all your folks. And, I love what you're doing for people. And, it sounds like they've got a great leader in you for sure.
All right. Thank you so much, Wally. Have a good one.
Thank you. Take care.
Bye. Thanks for listening to All Ears English. Would you like to know your English level? Take our 2-minute quiz. Go to allearsenglish.com/fluency score. And if you believe in connection, not perfection, then hit subscribe now to make sure you don't miss anything. See you next time.